seated. The words that the author used to address the readers are holy brothers. And these words are significant and need our attention. These words remind us of a heavenly calling that far surpasses the circumscribed nature of just earthly life. This holy calling is mentioned elsewhere in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus." Paul refers to such a high calling when in Philippians 3:14 he says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The word for holy is also the word we translate for saints. So Paul says in Romans, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to the saints in Rome." God is the one who calls us and makes us saints. This is His work. This, then, is more fully described in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may claim the marvelous deeds that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, now you are a people, the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy." The emphasis of the call is upon God's call. The emphasis on this title, Holy Brothers, it is truly a God-given title. For us, it's a gift bestowed upon us. From darkness to light, from no mercy to mercy. This is a God-given title, but because of what He has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We are now members of God's family, brothers and sisters. The term for brother and sister in the Scriptures means from the same womb. Okay? That's how you're a brother or a sister. The womb that we all come from is baptism. So, how then do we have such a high title? The text says, "Consider Jesus." He is first an apostle, which means one sent to proclaim to us the truth of God's word as God's representative in our midst. Okay? Second, he is called our high priest, who interceded for us by sacrificing himself at the cross. The call is to faith in the one who is the apostle and high priest. Apart from him, there would be no title, no status, no standing before God. We would be children of wrath. There is only one real other who was both God's representative and who interceded for the people like a high priest. And that was Moses. The Jewish Christians he was writing to would have had a high view of Moses, and they were actually considering a return to Moses. The author's intention here is clear. Do not dishonor Moses, but show the readers how Jesus Christ is greater than Moses. Moses was a servant of God. Moses was called the meekest man to ever live on earth. God spoke to him face to face. However, he is not the Son, the builder of all things. He is not the one who has earned for you the title, Holy Brothers. Only Jesus has done that. While Moses was faithful, Jesus is faithful and perfectly obedient to the Father, even unto death. Only this has moved God to call us holy brothers. Therefore, faith in any other, any lesser man, is futile. Our confidence and hope is and can only be in Jesus Christ. For grace and truth came through him alone. This is essential for all the readers of Hebrews. The author builds the argument that Jesus is greater, and where one dare not turn back to the former things such as the law and Moses. Holy brothers is quite a title, quite a gift, quite a status earned for us by none other than Jesus Christ, our apostle and high priest. Questions. There was one question about the word apostle. The apostles only applied to those that saw Jesus were with Jesus from their call until they saw him resurrected. Okay? Ascended. Paul usurps the title of apostle with his massive ego. Okay. He did not see Jesus from his call to later. He just usurps it. Okay? He saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, but he was not with Jesus the whole time. In fact, he was a persecutor of the church and Jesus. Okay. The term disciple is used in some places. But we're all disciples of Christ. Okay? We're all disciples of Christ. So, but the chief apostle is Jesus Christ because he speaks the word of God to us. And the apostles are simply those that speak the word of God to us from Christ. Okay. And he sent them forth to do just that. He sends us forth as disciples to do that. Okay? Other questions? Yes.
That we all read, for one of our questions, the 2 Timothy passage, it says, if we have died with him, we will also live with him, which everyone understood and accepted. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, anytime he has the word gift, it's such a conditional word, we know that we do deny at times, but is this not talking about until the point of death only? It's not talking about struggling with a sinful nature.
That's correct. It would be a denial of Christ and a refusal to believe in him unto death. It would not be the momentary lapse or doubt in faith. There was another one?
In one of our questions, we had to look up some verses from the Gospel of John. It might have been verse 45, and I think it was when Jesus was calling the disciples, and Philip told Nathanael, we have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law. And I just wondered, when did Moses write about Jesus in the law? And why would that immediately come to Philip's mind? He would tell other people that. And then if so, then why would Jewish people know, acknowledge Jesus?
Moses did write about Jesus. It's all over the first five books. It's there. Deuteronomy 18 is one, but everything from Genesis on, you can find Jesus. Now, here's the problem, folks. They call the first five books of Moses the Torah. And we have come to translate the word Torah, law. That is wrong. Okay? It is wrong. Because the Torah is not just law. The crossing of the Red Sea is in Exodus. Is that law? Of course not. The calling of Joseph out of Egypt and the preservation of the children of Israel, is that law? Don't think of Moses and the first five books as just law. They are the revelations of God, both law and gospel. When we apply the term law, what we wind up is a very limited view. We ultimately get it down to the Ten Commandments. The first five books of Moses are much more than the Ten Commandments. And there is both law and gospel in the first five books of Moses. So, be careful of the word law. Law and gospel can both be used in two senses, the narrow sense and the broad sense. The law in the narrow sense is the Ten Commandments, what you are to do and not to do. The law in the broad sense is the whole counsel of God, both law and gospel. Gospel in the narrow sense is the teaching of what Jesus Christ did for us and has earned our salvation. In the broad sense, it is all the teachings of Jesus Christ, which include law. So be careful just assuming and look at the context of how the word is used. That's the only way you can find out. You have to read the verses before and after. How is this word being used here? But don't assume every time you see Moses and Moses and the law connected that he wrote just the law. He also wrote of the gospel. Other questions? Well, Sharon's not here. We can do anything we want. All right. If there's no others, we'll continue next week in chapter 3. Hopefully, this was a pretty thin lesson. Okay? There'll be some more substance next week. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.